Hi everyone, happy Wednesday night. I hope everybody is doing well. I'm a little sleepy. If I wasn't coming on to teach, I'd probably be finding my way to bed pretty soon. But what I'll do, of course, is go into prayer and trust that Holy Spirit will give me the energy to get me through the next hour, and then I'll go to bed later. That's how it'll work. It's funny that when Laurent was here, you know, I easily stayed up till midnight or 1 a.m. with him pretty much every night. But now that he's gone, boy, I'm right back to being a 9 o'clock to bed person, 10 o'clock at the latest. yeah, sleepy but happy. Yeah, absolutely. So welcome, 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 welcome. It's good to see everyone. We're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which means that we're looking at ReginaDonAkers.com, everything in chronological order from the very first thing Holy Spirit ever gave me until who knows when. Right now we're up to December 2005. And in fact, last week we started looking at a message. We had a lot of discussion around it, so we didn't get all the way through it. So what we'll do is we'll start by finishing that message today. Here is a link to the page that we're on at ReginaDonAkers.com. When you get to that page, what you can do is scroll down, and you're scrolling down to a message called Looking at the Belief in Lack. And it's dated Wednesday, December 14th, 2005. So you can go there. And what I will do is go to Holy Spirit, ask for some energy. And, of course, ask for guidance. And then we'll see what happens next. It's always the fun thing. We never know what's going to happen next. So here we go. If y'all would join me for a moment, I'd really appreciate it. Holy Spirit, once again, I just want to thank you for the many, many gifts that you shower upon us in so many forms. It's like glitter falling from the sky. All we have to do is reach out and grab it, and we are awakening. You give us so much. Thank you. Holy Spirit, tonight as we look at these messages, these old messages from ReginaDonAkers.com, I know that the messages are always current because they are from you. They point towards our truth. They speak of our awakening, and there's always something helpful in them. So Holy Spirit, as we look at these messages tonight, I ask that you guide us to hear whatever is most helpful to us now. We're always ready for some next step or for some way to make the current step more sure footing, some way to take it deeper into our heart, some way to put it into practice more in our daily lives. So Holy Spirit, whatever is most helpful to us now, I ask, of course, that you give it, which there is no doubt in my mind that you will. But I also ask, Holy Spirit, that you help us to recognize it as that perfect jewel goes floating by for each and every one of us. I ask that you point it out in our mind and say, there it is, that's the one for you. So that we will reach out and grab it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So here's what I think I will do. I'm just going to start reading the message. Like I said, we discussed part of this last time we were together, so I'm not going to go into a lot of discussion of what we've already talked about. But I think it would be great to get back into the groove of the message and then begin discussing it. So, I'm so tired I can't even see. Hold on. I can usually read off the computer screen without glasses. I only need glasses for like a book with small print, but I'm pretty sleepy. So, even the words on the screen are a little bit blurry. I could probably read them if I strained, but I don't see any sense in straining. You know, there we go, glasses. Now I can see clearly. Isn't that a song? I can see clearly now. All right. Cliff is saying drink strong coffee. You know what? I tried that. It didn't work tonight. And I'm a person who can drink caffeine and then go to bed. I'm not one of those ones that caffeine keeps me up all night. Sometimes it will give me a little kick in the butt and help me to wake up. But tonight it didn't. So it is what it is. But I'm sure I'll wake up during the teaching. That always happens. There's no reason to doubt that. All right, so here we go, starting at the top of the message. Holy Spirit, a question has come into my awareness that I would like to ask. What is meant in A Course in Miracles when it says, make this year different by making it all the same? And if you come to this room, you know that line because our beloved dove is saying it all of the time. In fact, who knows, that could be how it came into my awareness. I don't remember, but there's a good chance that it came into my awareness through Dove. So here's the Holy Spirit's answer. We've already discussed this, so like I said, I'm just going to read it over to get us back into the groove of the message. That is a statement of oneness. It means, make this year different by seeing it all as one with one purpose. Do not accept that there are different people, different relationships, and different purposes. Do not accept that there are different wills. Accept only one will as the purpose and meaning for all things. Embrace one will in gratitude and joy. Know the complete freedom and total release of joining one will by making that your only choice. Make this year different by making it all the same is a request that you make the final choice, which reveals the glory and complete freedom of choicelessness, of knowing God in all that is and all that seems to be, until all that seems to be vanishes as all that never was. And so I said in December of 2005, you recommend that we see God in all that seems to be. Does that mean that we see God in the ego? And here was the answer. It means that you choose to no longer see the ego because you know it cannot be. And while the illusion persists, which it will for a time, you see the reflection of truth as all that is meaningful. And you see anything that seems not to be that reflection as totally without meaning of any kind. And I remember mentioning when we discussed this before that that's a magnificent gift. I used to, of course, judge the ego, whether I saw the ego in me, whether I saw the ego in you. I judged it. I thought the ego was bad. And what I feel like I've done now is forgiven the ego. I have not yet let go of the ego, but I have forgiven it. So when I see it in me, and when I see it in you, it's just not at all important to me anymore. It's meaningless. I've forgiven the ego. I no longer judge it. Or at least not most of the time. Occasionally I still slip, but it's not my habit. It's not my habit every night. So I'm really grateful for that. So that's as far as we got 2 weeks ago when we were looking at this message. So what I want to do now is begin where we left off. Here we go. It's me speaking. I said, I hear what you are saying. And your words are beautiful to me. But there are things in the world that have meaning to me. My daughter has meaning. And things that seem to affect her have meaning for me. What would you share regarding this thought? How can you help me? And Holy Spirit answers, everything has the meaning that you give it. The meaning given to your daughter is special, as if this part of the sonship has more power to influence you than does the rest of the sonship as a whole. That to me is a very interesting definition of special. I don't think I looked at special relationships this way before Holy Spirit defined it this way for me. When I say someone is special to me, I'm saying they have more power to influence me. So that if they get mad at me, I either get more hurt or more angry than if a stranger on the road would seem to get mad at me. If I go up with their ups, I go down with their downs. But that's what's happening when I say someone is special. I am attached to them in a way that I believe that they can affect me, and so therefore I feel the results of that affecting. So the meaning given to your daughter is special, as if this part of the sonship has more power to influence you than does the rest of the sonship as a whole. You have separated out an aspect and made it different. And within you, there is an unwillingness to make it the same. This unwillingness comes from the belief that if it was all the same, you would somehow lose or sacrifice something that is needed for your happiness. This is a projection of the belief that you are less than everything. This is the basic ego belief, which you are still clinging to. So, of course, what Holy Spirit is telling me is that because I believe I'm less than everything, I also believe I need something else, something outside of me to complete me or make me happy. And in this particular case, we're talking about my daughter, a child. And what this also means, and many parents will be aware of this, if I am using my child to complete me, then what that really means is that my child, in my perception only, my child is not free just to be. If I am using my child, and that's what it is, it's using my child. If I am using my child to complete me, then there are expectations that she must meet in order to perform that role. And of course, whenever she doesn't meet those expectations, that's when I get very, very upset. And we're all familiar with this. This is what A Course in Miracles teaches us about the special relationship. But it's really important to see in life exactly how we do this, how we use the ones we claim that we love, the ones that are supposedly closest to us, how we use them. And that's all we're doing is using them to attempt to complete ourself. And of course, that is not love. And I'm really grateful to Holy Spirit for helping me see this. I think that my relationship with my daughter now is 1,000 times better because I do not use her now. I do not see her role as one where that needs to complete me. I see me as the totally free and complete Son of God. I see her as the totally free and complete Son of God. I'm fully aware that she has her own guidance, her own script, her own unfolding. I know that my role is to guide her, to love her, to help her to feel safe, to be who she is going to be without attempting to control that. And here she comes. Hey, Jasmine.
Oh, 1 minute late.
You're 1 minute late. Oh, no. I guess I should beat her. She's a minute late to bed. She has not fulfilled my expectations. Oh. Okay, then give me a kiss. I love you. See you later. Bye. Yeah, I'll check on you when I'm done. See what I mean about making her feel safe? She said, Mommy, remember, you got to come check on me. Of course, by the time I go check on her at 10, she'll be snoring. She won't even know that I did it. But we have a pretty good relationship now because Holy Spirit has corrected my perception of her job. Her job is not to complete me. Her job is to learn to listen to Holy Spirit by herself, to grow by herself, to follow her own guidance. And what I've observed since I let go and let her, which is the same thing as letting go and letting God, I've observed she does a pretty good job. In fact, what I have observed is that parenting is much more of a following than I ever would have imagined. She guides me on how to parent her if I pay very close attention. It's absolutely amazing. You know, you always hear that children do not come with a guidebook. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think the problem is the children are the guidebook. And since people aren't looking there for the guidance, they don't notice it. But Jasmine even has her own ways of letting me know when she needs discipline. When she needs, for example, a timeout, which actually isn't very often. But if she seems to get out of control and needs a timeout, she's as aware of it as I am. It's amazing how well she guides me and how to guide her if I pay attention and see her as the equal Son of God instead of using her to complete my imagined lack. So again, Holy Spirit said, everything has the meaning that you give it. The meaning given to your daughter is special, as if this part of the sonship has more power to influence you than does the rest of the sonship as a whole. You have separated out an aspect and made it different. And within you, there is an unwillingness to make it the same. This unwillingness comes from the belief that if it was all the same, you would somehow lose or sacrifice something that is needed for your happiness. This is a projection of the belief that you are less than everything. This is the basic ego belief, which you are still clinging to. And I said then, I said, I don't know what to do about that. How can you help me with my perception? And Holy Spirit said, you must be willing to see that you choose your beliefs, which at this time that wasn't as clear to me as it is now. At the time this message was given, it wasn't as clear to me that I chose my beliefs. It just seemed some things were true. It did not seem that they were merely beliefs that I was choosing. You must be willing to see that you choose your beliefs. If you hold on to your belief in lack and need, you will continue to experience lack and need, and you will not know the peace of God. This is the choice you are making. But if you are willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, and you are willing to give that belief to me for correction, I will correct it for you. And this is the amazing part about waking up. All we have to do is let go. And when we let go, the false beliefs are corrected for us. We just have to let go of the belief that is blocking correction. So in this case, if I choose to hold on to the belief that I am somehow lacking, which is absolutely and completely a false belief, it has no truth to it whatsoever. I see that clearly now. If I am willing to let go of that belief that I am lacking, even if I don't understand how that could not be true, if I am just willing to let go and trust Holy Spirit, then what happens is somehow, at some point, I just start to see differently. I can't even tell you when it happens. This is why it's called a miracle. Just all of a sudden, one day I notice I don't see the way I did before. But we have to let go. If we insist that we are lacking, or if we insist that we need things we don't have or think we don't have, then it can't be corrected for us because of our own freedom. By insisting that I'm lacking, I do not allow Holy Spirit to show me the true perception. Holy Spirit said, "And the hills and valleys shall be made level." That's a quote from the Bible, actually. "And the hills and valleys shall be made level." Oh, I see a typo there. That should be B. I read it right, but it's typed wrong. "And the hills and valleys shall be made level. And the joy of the Holy Son of God shall extend into eternity, because he shall know himself as complete in one." So it sounds like the Holy Spirit is prophesying there that we will awaken. After that, if you look at the message, you'll notice some italics. This is where I'm talking about what happened for me. I'm no longer talking to Holy Spirit. I'm kind of narrating the story. And what I say here is that this conversation with Holy Spirit left me feeling mad at God. And I have had a few of those where Holy Spirit's talking to me and I just get pissed off. I just get mad, just mad. And this, for some reason, was one of them. I guess I just could not imagine myself not lacking. And it was just, I was just getting mad at him that he should try and say that was true. I don't know. I don't remember now why I was mad, but this conversation with Holy Spirit left me feeling mad at God, which also left me feeling sad. I can't really explain why, so I won't try. It just is what it is. I picked up the newspaper and saw that the Chronicles of Narnia was playing at the movies at 3:45. I got the notion that this movie would make me feel better. Ah, right there. I don't know. I don't remember what's going to happen next, but I'm guessing disaster. Because look, I'm looking outside of me again. Look at that. I got the notion that this movie would make me feel better. I'm looking outside of me so for happiness. So I'm guessing something's going to come up. Because that just never works. I got the notion that this movie would make me feel better. So I told Jasmine that we were going to the movies. Here's how that played out. Okay, here we go. I wanted to go. Jasmine did not. Immediate conflict. I wanted to hurry so that we could get there on time. Jasmine did not want to be rushed and got angry at me. Jasmine wanted popcorn. I thought popcorn was unnecessary since she just had an after-school snack and we would eat supper after the movie. I also had a desire to save money. Jasmine wanted butter on the popcorn. I didn't. I think it is too greasy, too heavy, and makes the popcorn unnecessarily more fattening. I wanted Jasmine to eat the buttered popcorn that she'd asked for and I hadn't wanted to buy. And guess what? She didn't want to eat it. Isn't that funny? She insisted on the popcorn, insisted on the butter, and then she wouldn't eat it. Jasmine hated the movie and wanted to leave. I only thought the movie was so-so, but I felt a strong desire to stay, and I felt intruded upon by her desire to leave. Okay, so that's what happened after receiving this message from Holy Spirit. And now it looks like it's the next morning. The message is continuing, but it looks like it's the next morning. Because I say this morning, with this scenario in my mind, I continued my conversation with the Holy Spirit. So here we go, more on lack. Obviously, I'm not getting it because I'm thinking a movie can complete me now. So obviously, I'm not getting this no lack thing. So here we go. I'm speaking to Holy Spirit. I'm glad I wrote this stuff down. At the very least, it's fun to look back on. I wouldn't remember this at all. I have the world's worst memory. Okay, here we go. I did notice a lot of resistance to letting go of an underlying anger toward Jasmine. So look at this. I'm noticing that I wanted to be mad at her. I'm noticing that. I wanted to be mad at her. I did notice a lot of resistance to letting go of an underlying anger toward Jasmine. I noticed a strong desire to hold on to that anger and to attack her, blaming her for my lack of peace. What would you share regarding this observation? So that's my question to Holy Spirit the next day. Answer. It's the obvious answer. It is the basic belief that you need something other than you. And you need that something controlled in a specific way in order for you to be happy. And then Jasmine was there with the same perception and desire. But what she thought she needed seemed to conflict with what you thought you needed. You had an awareness that letting go of your desires would bring peace. But you were unwilling to let it go because you were unwilling to let go of the basic belief that you need something other than you, controlled in a specific way in order to be happy. This is amazing. If you guys will pardon me, this just shows how friggin' ridiculous we can be sometimes. You know, we're talking about popcorn with butter on it, a movie that really I wasn't that crazy about anyway. I was demanding that I needed all this whole situation to be a certain way. I was demanding that I needed this whole situation to be a different way because underneath, I was not willing to let go of the belief that I lack. I was insisting that I must need something outside of me to complete me and make me happy. To me now, that's just crazy. It's just crazy that I should want to do that, because if I want to insist that I need something out of me in order to make me happy, then what I'm really doing is insisting that I not be consistently happy, because I can never control things outside of me and have them a certain way. Of course, if I can just be happy with being, then guess what? I always get to be happy no matter what. And it's amazing to me that at one time I wanted to insist that I needed something outside of me to make me happy. I asked Holy Spirit then, I said, why am I so resistant to letting go of this belief? And Holy Spirit said, because you identify with it. It seems to be you. I said, please tell me more. How and why do I identify with lack and need? And Holy Spirit said, you identify as a separated part of the sonship, which is inherently identifying with lack and need. So here now we're really getting down to the why. Why would I insist that I need something outside of me? Because I want to insist that I am a separated individual, separate from everything else. And if I want to insist that I am separate, then inherently built into that is lack, because I cannot be separate and be everything, because there's something I'm separate from, something that I've locked outside of me. He said, you identify as a separated part of the sonship, which is inherently identifying with lack and need. You cannot be apart from everything and be everything within yourself. It is one or the other. Either you accept yourself as everything and needing nothing, or you believe that you are not everything and so you need something. You have chosen to be separate, to be individual, to have your own will and your own way. And so you have chosen not to be a part of everything. This is how you identify with lack and need. It is an inherent part of a choice that you made. It is also a choice that you continue to hold dear, which is why you experience strong resistance to letting go of the basic belief in lack and need. So think about that next time you think you want your popcorn a certain way and you're fighting with your someone who's with you because they want the popcorn another way. Think about that. You are fighting. You're not fighting over popcorn. You are fighting to hold on to the belief that you're separate. Or anything else that we argue with our family members over, you know, what side of the plate to put the silverware on, or, you know, what movie we're going to watch, or, you know, where you squeeze the tube of toothpaste at the bottom or in the middle. I mean, all of that is just an expression of our desire to believe we're separate. That's what we're really fighting for. Finally, I'm starting to get it because the next thing I say is, this is really helpful, which means, you're making sense now. Like Cliff said, it's not about the popcorn. It's about separateness. Like, oh, okay, I get it. This is really helpful. I don't think I've looked at this belief like this before. Thank you. Thank you for waking me up, Holy Spirit. What would you share with me now? Holy Spirit says, recognizing your desire to hold on to the belief in lack and need is important. You can't give your willingness to let go of this desire until you recognize that it is your desire and held on to by your choice. Now that you've seen it, continue to notice when it comes into your awareness. So there's what I would call an assignment from Holy Spirit. Notice when we want to fight about the popcorn, or when we want to fight about what the family is going to watch on TV tonight, or when we want to fight about what restaurant we're going to. All these things that aren't at all important. The only reason they seem important is because we're fighting for our individuality. We're fighting for our belief in separation. And we all say we're on a spiritual path. We all say we want to awaken. We all say we want to realize our oneness. And yet we fight over whether there's butter on the popcorn or not. It's ridiculous. Recognizing your desire to hold on to the belief in lack and need is important. You can't give your willingness to let go of this desire until you recognize that it is your desire and held on to by your choice. Now that you have seen it, continue to notice when it comes into your awareness. Continue to notice when it comes into your awareness. Remember what you are choosing if you choose to believe in lack and need, which means if you choose to believe you need something outside of you to make you happy. Remember what you are choosing. You're choosing to see yourself as separate instead of knowing the truth. Remember what you are choosing if you choose to believe in lack and need, and then restfully give your willingness to let the belief in lack and need go. You know, just say, that's okay. I can eat my popcorn with butter on it. I can sit beside you while you watch that television show. I can eat fried chicken instead of baked. I can, because I don't need to fight for my individuality anymore. I can do all of these things that I used to fight for, because they're just not important. Remember what you are choosing if you choose to believe in lack and need, and then restfully give your willingness to let the belief in lack and need go. If you feel confusion as to what to do, remember that what to do isn't important. And that's an important line, because sometimes, you know, we also talk about no people pleasing, right? And so sometimes what happens is ego gets in our mind and we get all confused because, you know, now we heard that if I fight for not having butter on the popcorn, I'm fighting for my individuality. But I also heard that if I let my spouse or child put butter on the popcorn, I'm people pleasing. And now I'm all confused. And hold on, Steve, I just want to finish this before I turn the mic over. Now I'm all confused. I don't know what to do. Butter or not to butter. I'm all confused. Holy Spirit says, if you feel confusion as to what to do, remember that what you do isn't important. A temptation to seek a desired outcome is yet another symptom of the belief in lack and need. Remember that no outcome is necessary for you to be complete and happy. Put your faith in this thought and rest in willingness. So when you're getting all confused, just remember, okay, it doesn't matter which way this goes. It doesn't matter which way this goes. I can be happy because I am complete within myself. And when you feel that panic go away and that restfulness of this knowledge come back on, then you will know what to do. And in many cases, it might just be whatever your brother wants to do. There may be exceptions. The guidance might sometimes be different. But in many cases, it's going to just be whatever your brother wants to do. But not always. And I don't like rules, because whenever we have rules like always do what your brother wants to do or no people pleasing, then the ego gets involved and we're not surrendering in the moment and asking Holy Spirit for guidance. So no rules. Just when you notice that you're panicked, when you notice that you're confused, know that in that moment you're listening to ego. Let it go. Remember, you need nothing specific to be happy. No matter what happens now, you can be happy. When you find yourself getting back into that restful, relaxed place, then ask, what am I to do? And whatever comes, do that. And if it comes, eat butter with your brother, then go ahead, eat butter with your brother. Or if it comes, let your brother have butter, but, you know, don't eat any, then let your brother have butter, but don't eat any. If it comes, have two separate popcorns, then have two separate popcorns. What matters is that you're back at rest, you're back at peace, and truly you aren't fighting for a specific outcome anymore. A temptation to seek a desired outcome is yet another symptom of the belief in lack and need. Remember that no outcome is necessary for you to be complete and happy. Put your faith in this thought and rest in willingness. And then I said, now I feel happy. I'm not mad at God anymore. This has been really helpful. Okay, so Steve, or maybe Dave, whoever it is, I am turning the mic over to you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Dave's around somewhere, but Dave's not here right now. Anyway, I think he's in the building, but I'm not sure where. Anyway, two things came up. One was, and maybe you can answer this one later. One was, I remember you sharing somewhere, at some point, where you came to the conclusion that, you know, you were doing a lot of things and that you were directing a lot of the things that Jasmine did, and you were kind of pushing her to do this, that, and the next thing. I think that might have been a year or two or something like that, or maybe three before this point. So that was one question. I'm just trying to get some like, I don't know, how did it flow together and stuff like that. Because I know there was a time you shared in the past that it seemed like you found yourself pushing Jasmine to do certain things, and then you had to pull back in the reins there. Because that's one question, it's a simple one. maybe you won't even get to that one. But the other one is, Steve sounds like Dave. Maybe it could be contagious. The other question is, like, I'm back here now at, well, I guess I'm going back to some other thoughts, and I think they might have been in this kind of stuff, too, where Holy Spirit said it's our job to, he suggested to you to see everybody as healed. You know, see everybody as, like the Course says, offer them charity, seem as further along the path than they really are. And then, but this one thing right here seems to be the key. It's in, I might go back and said, I don't know what to do about that. So you ask only questions. Question, I don't know what to do about that. Can you help me with my perception? And then it just says, you must be willing to see that you choose your beliefs. And if you hold on to your belief in lack and need, you will continue to experience lack and need, but you will not know the peace of God. Well, I guess for me what comes up is, like, isn't seeing anybody as not healed the same as believing in lack, that somebody out there lacks something and therefore that you do? But what really struck me is that next sentence, you know, you will not know the peace of God. This is the choice you are making. But right, okay, it wasn't the next sentence, the one after that. But if you are willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, and you are willing to give that belief to capital me for correction, I will correct it for you. Now there's about two or three questions here. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen in that instant, is my experience. But the thing is, isn't that really the core of everything? I mean, when I was sharing the other day, and I said, like, well, what if someone believes that they're not hearing guidance? And the first thing, I try to remember, right? The first thing he says, put that thought in your head. Or into the part I like about, like, where it asks three or four times, you know you want the peace of God. If any thought comes into your head that is not in alignment with the mind of the peace of God, rest and let that thought be healed. And then in that last two or three paragraphs, that was kind of the key thing. It said, rest your mind. So to me, it's, I don't know. To me, I don't see the difference between that and rest, accept, and trust. And if you're willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, if you're willing to give that belief to me for correction, I will correct it. So it seems to me that, I mean, it might not seem like much. It seems like this is almost everything, though. Like, if you're willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, and you're willing to give that belief to me for correction, I will correct it for you. To me, that's the kind of key sentence. It's like, what can you do besides that, is my question, I guess. What else are you able to do besides that? It seemed like, you know, the question was really good. The questioner asked, which I guess is you, I don't know what to do about that. How can you help me in my perception? But then the key question here is like, but, or the key statement in the next answer is, but if you are willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, and you are willing to give that belief to me for correction, I will correct it for you. To me, that's the same as, like, that one that I really like now that I'm pretty much using all the time. Give through thought only that which you would receive, you know. And that's why, for the most part, it doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking right now. It's just a matter of which thoughts am I believing? Am I seeing somebody else through that? Is lacking and needs correction? So for me, that's kind of a key sentence. But if you are willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, and you're willing to give that belief to me for correction, I will do it. I will correct it for you. To me, that's everything. You know, the Course says, be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. The NTI says, listen to me, listen only to me, and practice what I say with your every breath. So for me, that's the same sentence as that, you know, and the rest, accept and trust, was in there too. So it seems like there's really quite a bit of stuff in here. So, I mean, what can you do besides, but if you are willing to let go of your belief in lack and need, and are willing to give that belief to me for correction, I will correct it for you. It seems like that's basically just about everything, so that's my question. What else can you do besides that? What else is there to do besides that? So I guess that's my question. Thank you for letting me share and ask the question. Here's my thing.
Yeah, the answer that's coming up for me, Steve, is it's not really what else is there to do, because there really isn't anything else to do, but it's a matter of making sure we really do that. One thing I think that was really important in this particular message was where he said, continue to notice. Continue to notice. Because if I'm having a hard time, you know, for me, letting go at first started when I was having a hard time. Like, I went really, really frustrated with Jasmine or somebody else in my life. And I would say, okay, Holy Spirit, I give this to you in the moment because I'm feeling really, really frustrated. But what I may not have noticed is many other moments in the day or the week when I wasn't as frustrated, when I was still holding on to that idea. When You know, when I may not notice that I'm holding on to the idea that I need things outside of me to make me happy when I seem to be in control and things are going my way. You know, when I'm cooking dinner and putting it on the table and saying, everybody come eat, and they come eat at the right time and they tell me what a good meal it was. And, you know, when everything is going fine, I might still be holding on to that idea that I need things outside of me to be happy. It's just that I'm getting what I want. And so I'm feeling happy, and I'm not, and I can go days without turning it over to Holy Spirit. I can go days clinging to that idea. And then something comes up where it doesn't go my way, and I say, oh, Holy Spirit, take this from me. I'm suffering. Holy Spirit, take it. And then I turn right around in the next moment, and I'm holding on to the belief, but I'm being satisfied again. So it's not a matter of what else can I do. It's more a matter of how well am I really doing it? How well am I really letting go of this idea that I need something outside of me to make me happy? And I think that's what we need to pay attention to. And this is why it can seem to take years, because Holy Spirit is asking us to let go of something so that He can heal it. But we only let go in moments of real pain. And the rest of the time, when it's not hurting so bad, we're still holding on and we're not even noticing. So that's the real answer, is that we need to truly watch ourselves just always, I'm going to say always, better and better and better than we are. We can't ever let ourselves think we're watching ourselves well enough. We just keep getting better and better and better at watching ourselves without judgment. And that's what we do. And we notice what we're doing with our mind. We notice what we're believing, even when it's not hurting. And we let go of it. We let go of it. In fact, one time Holy Spirit told me something like recognizing a belief, a false belief in the mind, and letting it go when you aren't in pain is a great use of time. So for example, in fact, I think I remember this example, although I've never sailed. For some reason, I think this was like the vision I had when Holy Spirit told me that, or the image, not really a vision, but the image in my mind, is the example is that I'm out on a sailboat with friends. It's a perfect day. We're having a perfect time. And I hear myself say something, and I realize as I say it that I think I'm happy because it's a perfect day. We're not at work. I'm with my friends. And here I am laughing and giggling. I'm not in pain, but I can notice. Ah, I notice. And I can let go of it right then. And Holy Spirit says, that's a good use of time. You know, that's a really good use of time, is recognizing when we're holding on to things, even while we're not in pain, but still being alert enough to notice and letting go. So I guess that's my answer to the question, is that we really need to pay attention to how we cling to all this stuff. There's always more room for awakening. And let's see what Teddy has written here. When you know you are unconcerned with outcome and you are not afraid of the future because there is no unhealed past, you'll know. Yeah. And I'm always, always, always watching, that outcome thing. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times a day I notice my mind want to choose an outcome and then I let it go. I'm, you know, as recently as today. just all the time. So that's really something to pay attention to, because our mind certainly is looking for something outside of us to cling to. Something has to be a certain way, and we got to continually let that go. As far as your other question about when did I let go of trying to control Jasmine, that's when I had her in all the lessons, trying to make her a trophy child. That would have been about a year before where we're at now. That would have been in 2004 when I start letting her quit the lesson she was in because she wasn't happy. So you said you just wanted to know the timeline. So that was about a year before this point. So, yeah, it's all pretty gradual. Let's see, I've given you guys a link to another message. It's a pretty short message, so maybe we can get through it. Actually, it's the same link. I just gave it again because some people have entered the room since we started. But if you were on this last message that we're reading, which was looking at the belief in lack, you can scroll up a couple of messages. It's called, Why Do I Have a Headache? And it's Thursday, December 15th, 2005. So let's just read this message. I said, question, what do I find as the gain in sickness? The headache, which leads me to choose to hold on to it. Okay, so like, you know, here's the age-old question. I hate headaches. Why am I choosing to keep them? And here's a great answer. In fact, the first line to me is enough. This headache tells you that you are a woman. And this particular headache, by the way, was a headache related to the menstrual cycle. So having a headache related to the menstrual cycle tells me that I am a woman. And that's, you know, it's the same as the message before. I still want to choose to believe that I'm an individual, separated person. As my current inner teacher would say, pain is only a symbol that you're still attached to the mind, that you're still attached to false belief. That's what pain is. So when you feel pain, just know what it is. You're still attached to false beliefs. Call it for what it is. So, and this is saying the same thing. This headache tells you that you are a woman, a fragile being in need of love, but not loved. You are forsaken and left to suffer, the victim of a vengeful God who has abandoned you. Why do I choose to believe this? I asked. Because you choose to believe you are separate from God, and you are not responsible for it. In this way, you get what you want without feeling the guilt that accompanies your belief in your desire. And this language, this teaching is much, much closer to the teaching of A Course in Miracles. Of course, at this time, I was a full-time Course in Miracles student. So Holy Spirit would definitely speak to me using the language of the Course. My current teacher would not go into this much detail. My current teacher is much simpler. My current teacher would simply say, you're still attached to the mind. He wouldn't go into all of this, you're trying to project your guilt on God type discussion. Just, you're still attached to the mind. That's all you need to do. You need to once again choose to let go of that attachment. I said then, so my sickness is a defense mechanism against my imagined belief in guilt? And the Holy Spirit said, yes. And I said, how do I release it? Okay, so here's the answer. How do I release it? Start now with stillness and the desire to know peace. Now, my current teacher would give this same answer. Start now with stillness and the desire to know peace. Give your desire to the Holy Spirit as a blessing for all men. Trust that your blessing shall be extended on the wings of your love, even unto you. No longer choose suffering for yourself or anyone. Choose only peace and the blessing of forgiveness. Now that's a beautiful answer for the teachings of A Course in Miracles, which, you know, using the psychology foundation to awaken us, talks a lot about projection, which is something we truly do. And so when he's asking me to go into stillness and focus only on my desire for peace, he's asking me to do it not only for me, but for everyone, which in effect is taking back any projections I may have ever made in that moment. I'm going into my mind, and for everyone, I'm asking for peace. What my current teacher would say, of course, is that when I go to the heart, go to the stillness, know my desire for peace, know my desire to know thyself, that what I'm doing is I am, in the moment, shifting my identity from what he calls the mind to what he calls the heart. And because I am shifting my identity away from the thinking mind, or away from the ego and going into the heart. Well, I'm literally walking away from the pain when I do that. If anyone does that, you notice that there is either a complete ceasing of the pain or a dulling of it, a numbing of it. The pain is no longer the problem it was before when we were caught up in the mind. And that again is because it's the attachment to mind that causes the pain. So as I shift from the mind to the heart and stay in the stillness and focus on the heart and let the heart open, I'm going to feel differently. So, and again, if I do that for everyone, not just me, but for everyone, if I go into the heart for everyone as a blessing for everyone, wanting the same peace for everyone, that only makes it bigger. It only makes the commitment more whole. And I'm afraid I just walked myself into a very high place where I can't even continue to speak. So I'm just going to let go of the mic a little bit early. Thank you. Bye.